Okay, so it's good to have everyone back to continue with the Torah Mirabanan learning, talking about the laws of kashrut and particularly laws related to waiting between meat and dairy. So last week we began to discuss the requirement to not cook, eat, or benefit from dairy meat together. I got the question, how does this apply to pet food in terms of not getting benefit from meat and dairy? How does that apply to pet food? So the answer is that a pet should not be fed basar b'chalav d'oraisa. So actual meat that could come from a kosher animal cooked with dairy should not be fed to an animal, because you benefit from feeding the animal in that fashion. If it's darbanon, let's say the food has a mixture of chicken and dairy, so that we would say is technically permitted. I don't have a pet. I've never had a pet, but that's what I checked into. We talked about not cooking or eating dairy meat together in general, and we began to talk about the requirement to wait to eat dairy after meat, and we discussed Halacha L'maisa that although there are opinions and Tosfos that it's enough to bench, clear the table, to wait for another meal, which would be defined as clearing the table, benching, wiping one's hands and rinsing one's mouth. So that is a position that's in Tosfos, but Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rambam that one should wait 6 hours, and the Ramah said that the custom in his locale in Poland was to wait 1 hour, but really one should wait 6 hours. So that's where I believe that's where we got. Let's pick up on page 33, verse 18. So what about some of the, here's what we'll talk about today. We'll talk about exceptions to the rule. We'll talk about waiting into the 6th hour, which is another question I got that's being directly addressed here. And the custom of waiting 3 hours. And if we get to it, we'll talk about why one needs to wait between dairy and meat in the first place. Not the reason for the prohibition of having dairy meat together, but why one specifically needs to wait. So right now we're on page 33.
I heard also there was a shita also with chicken versus meat, and it was 5 hours instead of 6 hours.
Okay, right. So when we get to the 5 hour thing, we'll talk about the distinction. But yeah, very good. Okay, so the Chasam Sofer says that the requirement to wait between dairy and meat maybe does not apply to somebody who is ill. So he says, Pasha tefola the onto shosa lirhuaso. So somebody who is sick and is forced to drink milk due to their illness, you don't have to wait an hour. So if they want to add meat, they say bir kasa mazon or the proper bracha achrona. So once they do that and wait an hour, so that's sufficient to drink milk if there is a medical purpose to that. This leniency underscores the importance of understanding the roots of a halakha when making a decision, right? Because obviously under normal circumstances, you would wait the normal time. But in these kind of situations, knowing that there's this leniency that the Ramah brings to wait only an hour, which is still observed by the Dutch, but this is brought by the Ramah. So even though we don't ideally rely on that, there are certain circumstances where that would be appropriate.
Rabbi, if this person has to drink milk, why is he eating meat? Why doesn't he have the milk first? It doesn't sound like it's an odd case. Like,
okay, fair enough. But I don't know. Let's say a situation arose. You heard it as a tshuva, so there must have been a circumstance where I don't know.
Maybe he went to the doctor right after that and he said, drink some milk.
Could be. So there's a sefer called Kitzur Shulchan Aruch al Basar B'Chalav, specifically Kitzur Shulchan Aruch related to kashrus. He says, So in order to, even for someone who's ill, in order to rely on this leniency to wait an hour, one has to be careful to say Birkas HaMazon and to, when one's mouth, wipe their hands, as Tosfos discussed. Okay, so another question that comes up that might prove an exception to the rule is if one made a bracha, let's say you had meat, and then 2 hours later, you want to have some M&Ms. You're just kind of sitting around, you're about to have some M&Ms, and you forgot that you had meat a couple hours ago. You make the bracha, bracha ta Hashem Elokim Elokim Elokim, calling you Yidvaro. You're about to put the M&M in your mouth, and you say, oh, whoops, I realize that I haven't waited on. What do you do in that situation? On the one hand, there's a concern of a bracha levatala. If you don't eat the M&M, maybe there's a concern of bracha levatala. Maybe there's a way to get around that. And generally speaking, when you make a bracha, it's good to have in mind, if you're making a shahakal, so you should have in mind that really anything that shahakal you would eat in that time span, it's really better in general to have that covered. But so maybe there's a way to get around that if you have something else that you can grab and eat instead. But let's just say, for all intents and purposes, your choice is either to have the bracha levatala or to eat the M&M, but violate the rule of waiting. What should you do? So Rav Avadia Yosef from the Chavadat was asked this question. So he points out, this is verse 20, I'm on page 33. He points out that the Shulchan Aruch rules that you have to wait 6 hours, and he talks about the Ashkenazi minhag to wait 1 hour, but one benches, turn page 34. He says on the third line on page 34, She'afel pishanachm kibanu horas maran. Even though we accept the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch that you wait 6 hours, Tzrichim shot shesha open basar lechalav, Mikol makom letzorech holy ktzat near pashut shiyesh lahatir lechol machlech av shachat lechar suda basar. So he quotes the idea that, again, someone who's ill can really only have to wait 1 hour. He says, So if I make the bracha shahakol, I'm going to have my M&Ms, and then I'm not going to actually eat the M&Ms because so it's a Torah prohibition to make a bracha levatala, taking God's name in vain. So therefore what?
Wait a minute.
Well, I think as part of the prohibition, so chatzi shir aser min haTorah. So, even a half measure is potentially problematic.
This is already in his mouth?
No, he's made the bracha, but it's not in his mouth yet. Oh. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef says,
substitutes,
quoting the Rambam, that it's potentially a Torah prohibition to make a bracha levatala versus the requirement to wait between dair and meat. Is a derabanan. It's a derabanan, or even in some cases a minhag, depending on the timing. Better to taste. This is where, okay, so maybe having less of a diet preferable. Having less of a diet is preferable. So it's better that I have, obviously not eat a whole, whole bag of M&Ms, but to have one M&M so that the bracha is not bracha levatala, he said, would be fine. So he says, in summary, Misha akal basar v'tok shesha od birich amachle falav, somebody ate meat within 6 hours, made a bracha on with the purpose of having a dairy food. Yitam te'ima kol shehi should just have a little bit so that the bracha will not be in there, right? So if I say that bracha, baruch atah kemal kamacha calling the big barel, and I was going to have an M&M, so have that one M&M so that the bracha is not bracha levatala. So better to do that than to totally have a needless
bracha. But chaco is good on a lot of foods. You could pick something else. You have to have kavana when you're making the bracha.
He already said that there wasn't something else available. Rabbi Krebel already said something else wasn't available.
Right.
I get it.
Okay. Right. So we're going to So again, in theory, if you have, if you have M&Ms and you have Jolly Ranchers, you know, kosher Jolly Ranchers in front of you, so have the Jolly Ranchers instead of the M&Ms. Again, that's why in theory it's better just to have in mind when you make a bracha anyway. That should apply to a number of different things. Okay, the Birkas Hashem, however, disagrees, and so he says that somebody who ate meat within 6 hours made a bracha on cheese or milk or something. So they make the bracha. So he says, "Asur lo licham kumehim." Can't eat it at all. Okay, so you have two opposing opinions. Rav Avadia Yosef says better to have one, so it's not bracha levatala. Birkas Hashem says shouldn't have anything at all. So Rav Moshe Sternbach from the Tshuvos V'Hagos suggests a distinction. It says, this is source 22 on page 35. So let's say you rinse your mouth and it's already been an hour. Should taste a little bit of the cheese of the M&M and shouldn't be concerned at all. Again, we have leniencies, especially for Ashkenazim. There is a tradition for Ashkenazim to wait only an hour. So we might not ideally rely on this, but if one's in the situation where it's going to be bracha levatala or having bas bracha lev, if it's already been more than 1 hour, so you have what to rely on to eat the dairy, and that shouldn't concern you at all. So the didan ha'ikar midina kerama, we really hold like the rama that 1 hour is enough. Osha minhag lehamtin sheshav, but the minhag is only 6 hours. The utterly forgetter chatzah shalom shouldn't reach the fence. You shouldn't breach minhagim. So the hakei shar ledidan near to who rak the halfway of lo hakei. So the custom to wait 6 hours is meant as a chumrah, but it's not meant for us to be lenient on making a bracha levatala, a needless blessing. So just to summarize the section, question is, if somebody ate meat and then they made a bracha on a dairy product within 6 hours, so what should they do? Rav Avadia Yosef says that you should taste a little bit. The Birkas Hashem says don't have anything at all. And Rav Moshe Sternbach says that if it's been an hour, then one should definitely eat that item. So that's on bracha levatala. Okay. Any questions before going?
When you said eat that item, you mean eat everything. You don't eat just a little piece.
No, I think, there's no mitzvah at that point to totally, don't have to have a whole bag of M&Ms at that point. So have enough. You only need to eat one M&M or one little piece of cheese in order for it to not be a bracha levatala.
Sternbach
is saying that once it's been an hour, you definitely don't have to be concerned about that. But I don't think he's saying that one should, just say like, okay, I broke it so I can have all the dairy I want. Yeah, but we're just talking about avoiding the issue of making a wasteful blessing. Okay. So where does the custom of, so we've mentioned that there's a custom for 1 hour, 6 hours. So some people do 5 hours at a minute or some version of 5 hours. So where does that come from? So one thing we should remember is that the Rambam had said when it came to how long one has to wait, he said, that you should wait kadesh or suda acheres. You should wait the equivalent of the interval of another meal. It's about 6 hours. So the Meiri says, verse 23, page 35, that the time for waiting between the meal, six hours or something near 6 hours. So he, like the Rambam, doesn't say six exact hours, but there's something a little bit fuzzy there because within that amount of time, the food has been digested fine. And the Magen Avos of the Meiri, he says, six or 5 hours. So we're more strict than 1 hour, more strict than Tosfos in terms of, just rinsing your mouth, etc. But he puts it at 5 or 6 hours. 5 or 6 hours. Not so exact. So the Sefer HaKashrus on page 36 notes that there are people who are lenient to wait Rov HaShashishu, most of the 6 hours. So he quotes, that's Hagan Rav Yosef Shlomo Yashiv that's the Ikar Din Daim B'Habtanas Kamesha Osumashu, 5 hours in a minute, 5 hours in a little bit past 5 hours, is sufficient according to the Meiri, right? Because once you said 5 hours or you know, 5 or 6 hours, so once you're past the 5 hour mark, that should be enough for the Meiri. Let's say you're going to prominent relatives, they offer you something to eat and it's only been, you know, 5 hours and 2 minutes. So maybe in that case, in order not to insult them, it would be better to have the dairy than to be strict on waiting the 6 hours. So the 5 hours and a minute appears in this Sefer HaKashrus. With that said, what? Right. So, in the body of this text, it brings something about most of the 5th hour, so that's 5 and a half. And then, but Rav Yashet seems to mention something about 5 hours and a minute. In full disclosure, I believe my in-laws wait 5 hours and a minute.
Is that for me too?
What?
For me or just for chicken?
For me. Yeah, for me. Yeah. Oh, we'll get to the chicken piece in a second. So the Rav Yosef was asked something about this, and he's asked specifically when it comes to kids. So he says, this is where source 26, where it says, Osef Gimel V'luy D'Mistifina, if I were not afraid, Hava Mina She'im Chaser M'Sheisha Os Pachos M'Chatzi Sha. So if it's 5 and a half, Mutar Aflin Dolim, even adults should be able to wait 5 and a half hours, because the Rambam said, K'mo She'isha Os. It said about 6 hours. So really 5 and a half hours should be enough. Because once you're saying about 6 hours, so once it's been the majority of, you know, it's been 5 and a half hours, that's already getting close to 6 hours. But he puts that as, I would have said if I weren't afraid to do so. He says, with money from Rishonim, lo haya mora shalos matzui. You didn't have clocks or watches back in the day. So we talked about this. This is what I talked about in Shabbos HaGadol in terms of the precision of time in halacha. So we have to remember that back in the day they didn't have clocks and watches and weren't watching to the minute. They had some sort of sense of time passing and, you know, an hour or something. But the notion that there's a difference between 5 hours and 59 minutes versus 6 hours is not necessarily so clear.
What did they do with Shabbos then? They had an estimate when Shabbos starts. You could be Michal Shabbos.
I guess they had a way of telling again. I mean, and remember that also, like, we're Machmir to start Shabbos a little bit early. So there, of course, there's reasons why we have to set a Shabbos, but if someone's actually doing the Shabbos, so you're probably not going to really pass Shkia. But it's a fair point. I mean, there are brings cases where people made errors because it was cloudy or something. So he says 5 and a half hours really should be enough. He says 5 and a half hours should be enough. But he goes out of his way to say also, again, so on top of page 37, he goes out of his way to say that here we do not apply this notion that the shiurim of Chachamim are exact. So that is an opinion that appears elsewhere in the Gemara, that the measurements of Chachamim are exact. So for example, in a famous case with the mikvah, the mikvah has to be 40 se'ah. It's a Talmudic measurement, se'ah. So if it's 39 se'ah, it's not a kosher mikvah. If it's 40 se'ah, it's a kosher measurement. What's the difference between 39 and 40? Well, that's what the sages said. So we do not apply that in this case, because the whole notion of waiting between meat and dairy was about waiting from meal to meal. So the Rambam and others gave a time for that, which was about 6 hours. But from like the very beginning, going back to the Gemara and going through the Rambam, other poskim, so it was never really meant to be entirely exact, right? From meal to meal, okay, about 6 hours. So 5 and a half should be sufficient. But he says, "Umiyul ma'aseh yesh lahaf mevaza." But so he says, practically speaking, really one should be strict, and one should really one should wait to the 6th hour, but one waits 5 and a half has enough to rely on. The Yaakov Yosef, which is also a compilation of the Tzakim of Rav Avagya Yosef, so he talked about a situation where the yeshiva schedule, let's say they have lunch at 1 o'clock, and then the schedule, in order to make sure that they have the proper learning time, So they would need to eat dinner at 6:30. So could they rely on 5 or 5.5 hours, in this case for yeshiva students, in order to keep their learning schedule set? And he said that that would be legitimate because you don't want to, Torah has to, need to be kovei itim Torah has to be, starim have to be set. So you shouldn't mess with those. So he says, you can rely on 5.5 hours for the purpose of maintaining the schedule of the yeshiva. He says that's also true in the army. With the army also, soldier needs to, they don't have time to wait the extra half hour. So 5.5 hours isn't. That said, verse 28, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, another tremendously prominent Sfari rabbi, says that we shouldn't rely on this leniency for 5.5 hours, especially for yeshiva students. Shouldn't do it for lay leaders, but especially for yeshiva students, they have to follow halacha. So that means that the schedule is going to be a little bit messy sometimes. So be it. But it shouldn't. Torah learning shouldn't lead to leniency and halacha.
Rabbi, the mention here of Rabbi Avadia Yosef and Mordechai Eliyahu, this Sephardic rabbi, we follow everything they're paskening.
One thing to keep in mind here, of course, is that not every source is necessarily one that we paskin by, because the purpose is to kind of bring the spectrum of approaches. It's interesting that they're both Sephardi rabbis. We had Rav Yashif, who said that 5 hours in a minute. Seems like there are other Ashkenazi rabbis who would rely on that. With that said, Rav Binyamin Horst in the Lata Kashrus really says that it should be 6 full hours. He says that there are some who wait 5.5 hours or a little bit over 5 hours. And he says that while there's basis for this and there's some people to do it, but he says that it should be avoided. Okay, so first, so how do we calculate? If I was making this book, I would order things a little bit differently, but so be it. So when we say that you have to wait 5 or 6 hours or whatever it is, so is it from when you finish eating meat or from the end of the meal? So the Aruch HaShulchan, verse 30, says that it has to be from benching, has to be from the end of the meal. The end of the meal would be defined as benching. So you have to wait till Birkas HaMazon in order to start counting. But that said, the Dagum Revava, Rabbi Cheskel Landau, says that he says, "Mashma lehedya from the Shulchan Aruch." It's clear and implied from the Shulchan Aruch. The sheisha os hainim suf atfil as basar atfil tzvina. From the time you finish eating the meat until the dairy. So let's say you have a Shabbos meal. So sometimes you finish the main course, and then like an hour goes by until you have dessert and you bench or like, oh, okay. So the 5 hours, the 6 hours starts from the time you finish meat. It's not benching, according to the Dalkal Meravava. And the Sefer Kasher seems to say the same. It seems to be the consensus. Okay, so there's also a custom of waiting 3 hours. Where does that come from? So that appears in the writings of Rabbeinu Yerucham. He's a Rishon that's mentioned frequently by Rabbi Yosef Karo and Beis Yosef. So Rabbeinu Yerucham, actually, I remember if this was in Kasher's or Anita. Rabbeinu Yerucham was often strict, from what I remember, but. But he brings up this idea of 3 hours. So the Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein, we've lived in the 20th century, quite recently. So he goes through a whole discussion of 3 hours. So the idea of 3 hours is, especially, let's say in the winter. So it could be that people ate meals, based on time that's being kept by the sun. So it could be that maybe you eat lunch at 12 o'clock and then by the time it's like dark at, getting dark at, 3 o'clock in Poland, so you're already sitting down to dinner. So he says that, again, the idea of waiting between dairy and meat is waiting between meals. So if the time you're waiting between meals is 3 hours, then it's 3 hours. So he gives that basis for that. With that said, he says, "Lepianius daitzi pasha koshi ish bo reach Torah." Anybody who has a fragrance of Torah should wait 6 hours, because that is the custom. So that's what he says here. And the Sefer Hakashrus on page 42, verse 36, quotes of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that somebody, even somebody who's, it's really, it's German Jews primarily who have that custom. Apparently also maybe some French Jews. They mentioned the book here mentions that it's common in the UK and South Africa also. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, even if you're German, you really should change your minhag to 6 hours. So there are a lot of poskim who say that, you know, the 3 hour leniency is not great. It's really better, you know, it's really better to wait six. I happen to wait three. That's what I grew up doing. Should I switch it to six? I thought about that before. I think my wife would leave me because that's the reason why she married me, was so that she would go from five to three. But that said, there are poskim who say that you should, that people who have three should go to six. But actually, interesting here, maybe actually, it doesn't have to be upset at me because one second.
Yeah, because here it says, after say, women should not change their custom.
Yeah.
More stringent. So what about the opposite?
So Sarah Kashrus does say that, although, I don't know. I mean, her custom was originally five, so I don't know. Fine. Let's go to page 50. This is an issue that I could see being common. If one is uncertain whether the time of measurement has passed, what do you do in that situation? So the Yad Yehuda says that the prohibition of the requirement to be between dairy and meat and dairy is what we call davar shiyeslo matirin. It's something that is currently prohibited that will eventually become permitted. And in those situations, we might be a little bit stricter because you can just wait a little bit, it'll become permitted. So we'll tell you to wait. An example of davar sheyeshlo matirin could be chametz on Pesach. It's davar sheyeshlo matirin because it's going to be permitted after Pesach. So he says, lefiza nir duhu adin nami beyeshlo sufek. If I'm not sure if it's been 6 hours, tzarich lahamkein ad sheyevada. You have to wait until you know that it's been 6 hours. Imatirin mitam speka derabanan. Even though the prohibition, the requirement to wait between meat and dairy is rabbinic, so since it's something that will eventually become allowed, so we say that you have to figure out when it's really actually been 6 hours. But the Sefer HaKashrus says that it's not necessary that at a certain point, if you can't entirely clarify if it's been 6 hours, so you know, obviously, if you know, I think I finished somewhere between 12 and 12:30. But I'm not sure, and it's only 2:30. So obviously, you know for sure that it hasn't been 6 hours. But if you're not sure if it's, you know, if it's between 12 or 12:30, and it's, you know, it's already 6 o'clock. So according to the Sefer Kashrus, you would be allowed to resume eating right away.
It's just a Suffolk Rabbanim, the waiting period, not the eating. Eating milk together is.
Right, that's a Torah prohibition, but the waiting is a rabbinic concern, is an uncertainty regarding a rabbinic matter.
The paskin lakula.
So the Yad Yehuda is paskin lakula, and Yad Yehuda says no because wait until you know for sure that it's been 6 hours and then you're fine. Okay, so this is where we'll leave out where we'll leave off for this week, but I. This whole topic is fascinating just because I think we're all very accustomed to the very rigid measurement of what's required in terms of waiting between dairy and meat. So the history of this is a little bit more complex. But as with everything with kashrus, I'd say that vast majority of what we do is rabbinic in nature. And yeah, the way we preserve Hilchos kashrus is through custom. So customs are very important there. So we have the leniencies when they are absolutely necessary, when they're called for, but otherwise we should maintain our custom. So next week we'll be talking about eating meat after dairy and maintaining proper separation, separate tablecloths, and a few other things. Have a great weekend, everyone.